Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18. Good to be here tonight. I'm going to put my weight on my right leg, and then if I end up needing the left crutch, then I'll lean on it. But Proverbs 18. Tonight we're going to be looking at losing friends. I believe that's something we've all dealt with at times in this life. It's probably one of the more difficult things at times that we'll face in this life. But it's just a little study for you tonight, and I trust it'll be a help to you. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house tonight. Thank you, Lord, for those able to come out tonight. Ask you to be with those unable to be here. Ask you to meet with them and just strengthen and encourage them. Be with those who are traveling, those recovering from different things. Ask you to be with them. Ask you to give me the words tonight that you would have me to say. And I'll just thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So I ask you tonight, have you ever lost a friend? I trust we all would answer that tonight, honestly, that we have. And we're going to look at some of the reasons why we lose friends. Now, but also after establishing how friendships come about anyway. In a life where we have so few friends, we not only want to maintain the ones that we do have, but we should be open to also making new friends. There was a time where I didn't necessarily value making new friends. I wasn't very much on that at all, but I see the value of having friends now as where there was a time where I didn't. But we should be open to making new friends. We see in Proverbs 17, in verse 17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. If we ever wonder how important friends are, ponder on how important love is and being loved and how often we need love. We know tonight, because the Bible says it and we've lived it, that our lives are filled with adversity. And since a brother's born for adversity and Jesus is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, then we must always be mindful of the fact that Jesus was not only born as the sinner savior of all mankind, and that Jesus was not only born to bring life and life more abundantly, but Jesus was also born for our adversity. And as I was thinking and meditating on this, I was reminded that yes, it's good for you and I to have some friends to help us through the adversities in life. But if we read into the latter end of Proverbs 8:24, and we will, it says, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. This verse tells me that if I lose every friend that I have, all the way down to my best friend on this earth, which is my wife, that I still have Jesus as my friend. And we can take it a step further because I'm saved and on my way to heaven, and I trust you are tonight. And because Jesus is eternal, that means that Jesus is our eternal friend. So as we look tonight at losing friends, be reminded that sometimes you lose friends for the sake of your best friend. When I got married, I had to lose some friends for the sake of my best friend. Not only girls that I went to school with, but also some guys who were still out doing boy stuff when I was having to learn to do man stuff. Losing friends can be a hard thing, but you have to ask yourself, what do I stand to gain by losing them? See, by losing some friends, I gain the trust, the respect, the admiration of my wife. Sometimes you lose something as you're pursuing something that's greater. So in looking at friendships tonight, first off, what makes a true friend? Because sometimes we lose someone that we simply thought was a friend, but wasn't truly a friend. Sometimes you get a glimpse of the true identity of a person that's behind the smile. Sometimes you see someone when the curtain's closed. when the cameras are off, when the guard is down, when the door is closed. They never shred you publicly, they shed you privately. Sometimes we end up trying to befriend the wrong people. Sometimes someone is not friendly, we just perceive them to be. I don't know if you've seen the memes out there where it'll be a snake and it'll have a nice smile to it. But it's still a snake. It's smiling and it looks cute and innocent. I was reminded, I was thinking about Brother Elsie's message the other night. Now going back to the garden, how the animals were tamed there with Adam. We wouldn't think about messing around with certain kind of animals today, but Adam didn't mind because they weren't what they are now. I see a lion, I don't care how far it is away, a tiger. I see people go on these trips, these safari trips and stuff, and got animals, the lion laying just 30 feet off of there, and they're in a Jeep, no doors and stuff on a safari. You couldn't pay me to do that with the king of the jungle right over there off the side of the road. Couldn't pay me to do that. And they don't go out there with guns either. But that just blows my mind. See, sometimes someone's not friendly, we just perceive them to be. The false friendliness is the basis of a friendship that isn't truly friendship. Because true friendship, by Bible definition, is built upon friendliness. True friendliness. Now, it's hard because you have to study one's friendliness to know if it's real friendliness or fake. There's a lot of fake friendliness out in the world, and tragically, even in our churches. So sometimes you lose a friend that was never your friend to begin with because the relationship wasn't built upon a genuine and real foundation. This could be said also for marriages. Marriages that aren't built upon a real and genuine connection rarely last. Marriages that are built upon emotion or lust or money, they rarely last. Foundation is important. True and genuine foundation. And Christ is the only sure foundation for any relationship. And in Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So since friendship begins through a form of friendliness, you must work to maintain what the relationship began upon. Because if you ever lose what it took to become friends, which is friendliness, then you lose the friendship. You know, I don't know about you, but everybody that I ever became friends with, it started with friendliness. Somebody was a jerk to me, we didn't become friends. And those at times that that was a time when I was away from the Lord, people didn't want to be my friend because of the way I was. Friendship begins with a form of friendliness. You must work to maintain, again, what the relationship began with. So true friendship requires effort. I've probably, if I'm honest today, I've lost some friendships over a lack of investing in them. I've seen many friends become unfriendly before they fell out with one another. Sometimes, if we're honest, sometimes we did something unfriendly or we responded to a friend unfriendly. See, sometimes somebody could do something to us, and even though what they did was wrong, and we were friends with them, because of the attack and the poison that we injected into them as a result of what they did to us, ended the friendship. You know, sometimes people mess up. Sometimes they make mistakes. We shouldn't be so quick to kill our friends. We don't have enough as it is. We shouldn't be so quick. And I tell you what, I worry about anybody who's my friend within 2 seconds, who will be my friend within 3 seconds. You know why? Because they don't know me. They don't know me. And anybody who doesn't know me, not that I'm a bad guy, But once they get to know me, they might not like it after the fact. And that's why I don't go all in on my friends just like that either. Got to take time to get to know somebody. Learn to trust them. Sometimes, if we're honest, again, we did something unfriendly or responded unfriendly. Some friends may drift or disappear, but there are those rare ones who remain loyal and close. They value the friendship enough to invest in it. You know, I know in some ways who my friends are, and they would say the same thing about me, because they can say difficult things to me, and I'll still love them, and I'll still speak to them. And there have been pastor friends that I have called out, and I said, you know what, they ain't going to be my friend anymore after this. I'm sure. Now, I called them out in love, but I called them out still, and I told them, you're wrong, and laid out why they were wrong to still be friends today. That's friendship, when you can call somebody out in love and still remain friends. You can't call somebody out in love and they can't call you out in love. You were probably never friends to begin with. So the value of friendship, it's enough to invest in. A recent study said most people have between 1 and 4 close friends. Now, would y'all say that's probably about where y'all are tonight? Probably 1 to 3, 1 to 4, something like that. That's probably about where I'm at. I'm talking close friends. Yeah. Close friends. You tell them anything. Close friends. Or maybe not anything, but 99%. We're never 100% honest with everybody. People tell me I'm honest. Yeah, I am, but I got my limits. Recent surveys indicate that a narrow majority of adults, 53%, have 1 to 4 close friends, with 38% reporting 5 or more. However, a significant portion of adults, around 12 to 13%, say they have no close friends at all. Do you know why the friendship circle is small? In part, it comes down to investment. We can only invest so much of ourselves into so many people before we have nothing left to give. Now, if most people have 1 to 4 friends, this also means that most people are that close friend also to 1 to 4 people. Sometimes we focus on how few friends we have, when the flip side of the coin is that we are a friend to few also. If you don't invest in your friends, your relationship won't last. If you don't invest in your wife, your husband, your relationship won't last. Now, we're going to look at this. Friendships end for a reason, even if the reason's unknown to you. And a lot of times it comes from differences, whether spoken or not. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Have you ever observed some things in your friends, whether good or bad, and it affected you? It affected how you viewed them. Your perception of them changed. Also, some will observe your good and will choose to no longer value your friendship. I remember there was a time where I was coming back to church and coming back to the Lord, and I was doing the best I could and striving and trying to grow closer to the Lord and rid my life of things, and invited a guy out, I forget what it was, just to get together sometime, maybe for lunch or something like that. And he said, I don't hang out with people like you. I don't hang out with people like you. And it cut me. It did. It cut me at first. I was like, man, all right. That's interesting. I didn't think I was that bad. But then as I got to know the individual and begin to observe their life, Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Some people, they're just not in agreement with you. And you're not in agreement with them. And because you're not in agreement, you can't walk together. There are people who will see that you strive to live a holy and separated life, which is well-pleasing to the Lord, but it won't be well-pleasing to them. And it's for a lot of reasons. Then others, tragically, may observe your bad. And I don't think for a minute that I don't believe there's times in my life I was this person too, where others may observe your bad and would choose to no longer value your friendship. There are people, without a doubt in my mind, who saw me walk away from the Lord, and that's why I didn't hear from them when I was in the Marines. That's why they quit being friends with me while I was in the Marines. Sometimes friends may not even say a word. You just sense a drifting apart. But again, what does Amos 3:3 say? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Sometimes differences in values or life direction causes friendships to end. It's painful, but it might be necessary if you're no longer walking the same path. And I've experienced this before. You can't pinpoint any one thing other than you're just going in different directions. Nothing major happened. Nothing major happened either on your end or their end. You're just going in different directions. I've sensed this at times with friends. I've sensed it with family or ministry leaders. But I say this, don't fight for a relationship that the only way to keep it would be to join them in a direction that is contrary to the way that the Lord is leading you. No friend is a true friend. If compromise is the only way to keep them around. I've had husbands come to me and say, "Pastor, my wife doesn't want me to come to church anymore. What do I do?" I've had wives come to me and say their husband don't want them to come to church anymore and say, and I say, "What does the Bible say?" Take them to scriptures that support being faithful to church, faithful for fellowship, faithful for giving, faithful in being in God's presence, faithful in being under pastoral authority and leadership, faithful in submitting to the edifying of the local body, faithful in assembly, and they reject it all and get out of church for this cause. They don't want to fight at home, which means they'd rather fight God and stay at home than to fight their spouse and come to church anyway. Many friendships and relationships in general come to an end over going in a different direction. Two are trying to walk together, going down separate roads, going in different directions, and it doesn't work. And I invite you tonight to have faith and trust in the Lord. Because the Lord has a way of leading one or more persons back to the road that they should be on in order for unity to be regained in the relationship. Another common reason we lose friends is betrayal. We'll probably stop after this one and then we'll pick up next week. We're going to look at betrayal. Psalm 41 in verse 9. "Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." You know, even those closest to us can hurt us. David doesn't say a distant friend. We would expect nothing the less from a distant friend, if we could even call him a friend. David said a familiar friend. This was a close friend. It was someone that David knew very well. David went so far as to say, "which did eat of my bread." David saying it was a familiar friend. It was a friend that I trusted that ate my food. We can assume that this friend was a friend that came over to David's house and sat with him, spent time with him, ate food from his pantry, food from his fields, his vineyards, food that was prepared in his kitchen. And it was that friend that David says this about, hath lifted up his heel against me. This is an interesting phrase. I found it in my studies. Lifted up his heel against me means to betray or attack someone who was trusted. It's found in Psalm 41:9. It's quoted by Jesus in John 13:18. It describes the treacherous act of a close friend or trusted ally turning against another. Like an unruly horse kicking its master or wrestler, tripping someone. The betrayal is from within the circle of trust, making it a particularly deep and painful wound, as experienced by both David and Jesus. Lifted up his heel against me. Think about the hoof of a horse. I haven't been around a whole lot of horses, but growing up, there was some family that had some, and they told me at a young age, don't walk behind the horse. You walk behind the horse, it might lift up his heel against you. You can trust them, but only so far. Certain things they don't like, just like you can trust a dog, but only so far. You pull his tail, you can't trust him no more. You mess with him while he's eating, you can't trust him no more. But you know, betrayal is something that we'll all face. Betrayal is when someone will sell you downstream just to get what they want. If you've ever had a close friend or husband or wife place something or someone at a higher premium than you in your relationship, then you've been betrayed. And betrayal is a reason why many friendships come to an end. We'll keep going a little bit more and see what happens. Growth sometimes means letting go. You know, friends can at times hold us back. But the loss of friends can sometimes hold us back also if we live and dwell in the past. We won't grow. I know people who are still the same as they were 20, 30 years ago because of what they lost. It's preventing them from growing instead of embracing the loss and using it to grow. I know pastors who are still living in a church split that happened 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago and have not allowed that loss to grow them. They're stuck in the past. But I want you to know, friends come and go. Sometimes those closest to us come and go. Sometimes it's even through death. We lose a friend to death. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1, to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. So seasons change. That includes relationships. When you have friends close, it's a season of embracing. When friends are not close or in heaven, it's a season to refrain from embracing. And I tell you, I've lost more friends in the ministry than I have outside of the ministry. And most of them didn't end as a result of any kind of friction, but different time zones, many miles apart, busyness of schedule and life. Then before you know it, you cherish the memory of what was that isn't anymore. You still love them, you care for them, you pray for them, you text them periodically, but the relationship as it was is no longer there. You know, letting go of someone doesn't always mean failure. At times, it's a part of God's plan for our lives and growth. I think God knows what he's doing. If we were surrounded by too many friends, we may lose sight of our greatest friend in him. When we don't have so many others around us to rely on, we'll rely on him more. I was just talking with a preacher friend who's battling some loneliness. And I said, brother, if it were up to me, all my friends would be in the same church, this church, because I ain't going nowhere. I'd be trying to get them here. Then right after it, I said, I believe the Lord gave me a glimpse of how bad that would be. About 10 churches would be looking for pastors, assistant pastors. A couple countries would have one less missionary. You see, God knows what He's doing. He has it all divinely orchestrated that we keep our focus on Him to meet all of our needs. And lastly, be reminded of something. God is a constant friend. In John 15, verse 13 through 15, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. I have called you friends. Earthly friendships may fail, but Jesus offers the ultimate friendship. It's constant, it's sacrificial, and it's eternal. We could spend the whole night on the constancy of Christ. We could spend the whole night on the sacrificial nature of Christ. I love the song, He Gave Himself. We know the song's written in the past tense when we see the word gave, as it's pointing back to the cross of Calvary. But thank the Lord that Jesus gives, present tense. He gives Himself for you and I. He's always available. I have no other friend than Jesus who is always available. And I'm not a friend who's always available. Try to be as available as I can, but I'm not always available. I love the hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Because He's the friend that will never leave us nor forsake us. And the Lord's been reminding me of this lately. Because we were in Ohio for 12 years. All the ministry connections that we had or have was there. All the friends that we had were there. So you end up in a new place, just about on the other side of the country in comparison, down this way, in comparison to Ohio. So, I mean, you're leaving everything. This brother here, he and his family understand what that is even more than what we do. To leave the family, to leave their country, to go to another country, to leave everything, embracing something entirely different, entirely new, different culture, making new friends, making the best of the situation and all of its changes and all of its differences. And the Lord has reminded me of this tonight when it comes to losing friends. And again, even if we lost every friend that we have, we still have Jesus, and we got to be reminded of that. Because you know what? There's going to be times there's going to be times where you're sitting maybe alone in your home, or you're riding in your car and you say, you know what, I could use a text from somebody, or I could use a call from somebody, and it doesn't come. And you know what, there's probably some times that somebody's waiting on your text and waiting on your call and it don't come. But it's in those times that, you know what, and sometimes I wonder if the Lord, because sometimes the Lord puts you on somebody's heart for them to call you, for them to text you, for them to write you a note. Sometimes I wonder if the Lord doesn't put it on their heart so that in that moment we turn to Him instead, to rely on Him instead. But you know what? We don't learn those lessons unless we find ourselves in a place where there might not be people. There might not be somebody constantly there, constantly around. So at times we're going to lose friends. It's going to happen. It's not always easy. Sometimes it's downright painful, downright difficult. But I'm glad that we have Jesus. And you know what? Be about making new friends. Remember, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Be about making new friends. You know what we're doing? We left all our friends in Ohio. We're making new ones here. How do you do that? By showing yourself friendly. Show yourself friendly. Show yourself approachable. People come up, they talk to you. Got friends. I already got friends. I consider all y'all friends. And got friends in different parts of town now, at different places, people I consider friends. One of them, a guest, came last Family Fellowship. Sarah and I have been working with him. What was his name again? Robert? Yeah, Robert. Yeah, it was a black gentleman that came on Fellowship Sunday. There was two nights where we said, we hadn't been to the gym. We got to get to the gym, and it was 10 o'clock at night. Said, we got to go. And it's just right down the road in Rusk. So we got to go. We just got to go. It's 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock, one of the times it might have been 10:30. Well, that's Robert's time to go to the gym. So we're talking to Robert while we're at the gym. I believe he's a Christian. Coming from a church stands for nothing. He's recognizing that. Church stands for nothing. They won't take a stand against abortion, won't take a stand against homosexuality. He's fed up with it. And he said, I'm looking for a church that'll stand for something. I said, well, brother, we here. You know, first I thought he was trying to trap me, asking me questions in the gym and stuff about different political issues and stuff. I'm thinking, he's trying to trap me. He's trying to get me in a net, and then he's going to attack. But no, he was on my side. He was on our side. Sometimes you just, now I'll still have the conversation, but I'm alert to what it could be. But yeah, he told me, he kept telling me, he said, one day I'm going to come. And I was optimistic. Yeah, I've been told that a lot. And yes, a lot of times people have it. But you know what? I still have hope in people. I'm not going to give up hope. When somebody tells me they're coming, I have hope that they will. I'm not just going to automatically say, because all these other people told me they were going to come and they didn't, that this one here is just the next one in line that ain't going to come. There's no faith in that. There's no faith in that. Of course they're not going to come. You got no faith. Wrong person invited them. Somebody should have invited them that had faith that they'd come. He told me he was coming. I'm like, all right. Some point he will. Then he told me the second time, at some point I'm going to pop in. I'm going to surprise y'all. And sure enough, he did. And it was a surprise. I was dealing with my knee. I wasn't expecting it. And stuff like that. And it was a blessing. It was an encouragement. You go out, you talk to people about the Lord, you invite them to church. When they come, it is a blessing. It is. And it's something for everybody to get in on. It truly is.